Lord, we just thank you for Christian and his family. Thank you for your word that is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. And as he brings the word that you've shared with him to give to us, Lord, may you bless him, may you encourage him, may you fill him with your spirit, and may you pour out your spirit to us through the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good evening. That was good. I caught a few of you in a yawn. That was fantastic. And it's not even Monday. So recently, I celebrated my 10th anniversary of becoming a father. Thank you. That's right. I accepted the call to priesthood. Just kidding. No, my oldest son, Aiden, became 10. I've actually been working with students for maybe close to 16 years. So I've learned a few things. And one of the things I learned was that saying something once doesn't necessarily mean you heard it. And just because you heard it doesn't mean you were listening. And doesn't really mean you'll go do it. So I was just thinking last night, a couple of you had mentioned to me, hey, thanks for the warning about the animals. Thanks for warning me about the plant life. That's what I'm here for. So, but then as I went to sleep, I just felt the Spirit say, yeah, the plant life, that's not really a big deal, because like you can get over that. But those critters, that's a real deal. And so I just felt compelled to bring you another song just to help you remember when you're out in the woods and you run into something of the animal life variety. I know it's cute, but touching it would be crazy. So repeat after me. Fear that critter.
Fear that critter.
It might have rabies. You can thank me later if you run into anything of that nature. You're welcome. It's fantastic. So, talking about following me as I follow Christ, and we looked at this morning, wrong direction, why would you follow Jesus? And we just looked at a couple examples in the Gospels of trying to get this idea that one of the reasons you follow Jesus is that Jesus is far and away different from anyone or anything we've ever encountered before. And I want to look a little bit further tonight at this. When you encounter Jesus, besides encountering someone who is far and away different, wholly different than anything we've encountered, we should follow Jesus because Jesus knows the better way to life. We're all trying to get something out of life. It's interesting, the further that you read when you get to college, everybody has to take philosophy 101, hopefully. It's really a good time. In all the writings and the readings, everybody is trying to find happiness. It's the reason some people go to war. It's the reason that some people protest war. It's the reason we make all of our decisions from when we wake up in the morning to what we want to wear, what we're going to eat, what we're going to do with our lives. We're all seeking life. And the problem, if I understand the scriptures correctly, is we try to just go right to life without consulting or going through Jesus. The call that Jesus makes to his disciples is he says, follow me. So we're supposed to take our search for life through Jesus so that he can ultimately get us to life. And I want to take a look at tonight in our short time together how Peter learned that lesson. I want to look at some encounters that Peter had with Jesus that I think we can pull from of, again, why would I want to follow Jesus? The first one is probably, a few of these you're probably pretty familiar with. Jesus, does anyone know what Jesus did before he became famous? What did he do? He was a carpenter. We believe this because in Jewish family, you tended to take on the trade of your father. And from what we can tell from history and a little bit of times that Joseph appears in the scripture, we believe he's a carpenter. So Jesus, when he goes live, if you will, he's been a carpenter up to this point. Peter was among many of his disciples who was a fisherman. And there's this time that Peter and his fisherman buddies go out all night. Now remember, this is what they do for a living. So if they don't catch fish, they're not living real well. And they spend what the scriptures tell us is an entire night, and they've caught nothing. They encounter Jesus the next day. Jesus is doing a series of teachings. He's kind of in the boat. He's done with teaching. And he just casually remarks to Peter and the fishermen, hey, Have you thought about throwing your nets on that side of the boat? And I don't know if like this is your little brother or sister or this is like your mom, but you're like working at something. And you just can't figure this thing out, you know, for like a good hour, hour and a half. And they just walk in. They're like, did you think of turning it on? Or like, did you think of touching? And they, you know, and it's always like, no, I got this. I got this. And so here's Jesus, the carpenter. And he says to Peter, the fisherman, the other side of the boat. And Peter, the Bible doesn't tell us this, but I just imagine he rolled his eyes like, okay, Jesus, the carpenter. He says, we'll just throw it over here real quick and we'll go in. And if you know this true story, he throws the nets on the other side of the boat and he catches some fish. And it's so much fish that he can't pull it in and he has to tell the other guys to help him. And then when he does, it starts to sink their boat. And while everybody's freaking out, because remember, this is their job, and Jesus just basically hit the lottery for them. Does anybody know Peter's reaction? What's Peter do? That's another fantastic story. I love that one too. It's about this one though. But I love it. You know where we're going. He falls on his face. He says, Jesus, get out of here. Now I know like if you ever watch Seinfeld or whatever, that's like an expression of like excitement and like, get out of here. But that he falls on his face. He's like, Jesus, get out of my boat. I'm dirty. And remember this morning we talked about when people encounter Jesus, it's overwhelming. And something happens. And here's Peter. He probably could have like taken off from work. Like, have you ever seen the Muppet Christmas Carol? And they finally convince Scrooge to give him the night off and all the mice, hey! And then they start singing. Okay. You guys don't watch the Muppets? Okay, I feel you. All right, it's not Christmas. I get it. One time a year. But you imagine he and the fishermen could have thrown this big party. Like, we don't got to work for 6 to 8 months, y'all. Maybe we should bring Jesus on. You know, your carpenter friend. Bring him out, right? And Peter falls on his face, just overwhelmed. He says, Jesus, get out of here. I'm dirty. There was something about that moment that Peter realized, whatever Jesus is, I'm not that stuff. So, of course, Jesus stays in the boat and he helps him get in there. Another time in a boat, Peter and his guys are out. Jesus goes, you go ahead, I'll catch up to you. And a storm hits. And if you know this true story, Jesus starts walking to them out on the top of the water. And the text says that they are petrified. I don't know if any of you have ever been petrified before. Anybody? Okay, that's fair. When I was in high school, well, middle school to high school, we lived out in the country. And where the school bus had to come get you like way early before school started. And one of the stops along the way was this family that they lived on the bottom of the hill, and they had a dog, okay? I don't know if your family has a dog. Maybe it's like everybody's like, oh, this is our lovely puppy, and you feed it, and it's like nice to you. And like they had a Rottweiler. I don't know if you're familiar with this animal. Apparently it doesn't love anybody. And they were like, dog leash? What's a dog leash? We live in the country. And so the Rottweiler, if you moved, it hated you. You could be a bus. You could be a child walking down the street. So every day when this boy would, we would all get up next to the window when we pick him up, right? Because he would come out and the door would slam and somebody on the bus would count. 1, 2, bam! This Rottweiler would come out the door. And we're all like, go, roll the bus. And it would chase the bus. And we would all get in the back and like make faces at it because we were bold because we were in the bus. So this would go on like every day. And even in the winter, like it would be slower in the winter, but it would try to get the bus in the winter. So summer rolls around and my buddy Todd Gilmore and I decided, let's go fishing. Your mom can drive. Your mom's not home? My mom's not home either. And Todd says, we have bikes. I was like, we do have bikes. So we got our fishing poles and we got our bikes and we started going. And we're just talking about these huge fish we're going to catch. And all of a sudden, it was like in a movie. I'm really sure, like, I heard creepy music just coming out of the woods. Things were slowing down, and all of a sudden, we were like, so anyway, I was going to catch the, and we both had the same thought, the house. So we looked this, like, nope, there's only one road in the country, and so we rolled up to the edge, and we looked down, no dog. So Todd goes, you ready to go? I was like, let's go. He's like, you're going to go? I'm going to go. It's like, on three, we're going to go. 1, 2, bang, out the door. Here comes the dog. And I'm like, we're going to go, dog! okay. So I'm pedaling as fast as I can. I just see a blur of color, and I'm thinking of all the people I didn't say I love to that morning, and what are they going to do with all of my 12-year-old toys? So, and all of a sudden, I take a deep breath, and I get to the designated point, and I was like, oh, Todd, I thought we were both going to, Todd? And I look back, and he hadn't even started yet. And the dog, apparently, I didn't know these existed, but they have these like electrical fences that are invisible. So the reason that they never were worried about this man killer was they had installed like the highest powered electrical invisible fence, and the dog knew that. So as he's running and there's like blood from his previous meal coming out of his mouth, he would stop. And I turned back and I looked at Todd and I looked at the dog, and I swear he winked at me as if to say, you got this time. And then he slowly turned and stared at Todd. And I waved, and I was like, I'll see you at home, buddy. And I rode off to the... So Todd made it home a couple days later. And we worked through that, and we became friends again. I share that story with you because I was petrified. I thought that dog was going to tear me limb from limb. And the text says, these fishermen were terrified because there's a person walking on the top of the water with this storm, right? And Jesus calls out from the water, don't worry, it's me. And everybody in the boat is like, now the ghost is talking. That's not in the Bible, but I imagine that that happened. And Peter, you know this, Peter's like, if it's you, Jesus, tell me to come out of the boat. That's where you got to love Peter, right? He's like, something's different about this guy. I told you guys earlier with the fish thing. And Jesus goes, yeah, it's me. And so Peter is, you know, gets out of the boat. He's walking on the water, and everything's cool until he looks around and he sees the waves, and everything freaks him out, and he starts to fall, and the Bible says he yells, Lord, save me! And then Jesus grabs him, pulls him out, and he's like, little faith boy, and puts him back in the boat. That's a loose paraphrase, but it's there. So Peter comes to know Jesus as this overwhelming other that makes him feel small and dirty. He comes to know Jesus as the guy that will do these amazing things, but he'll save you if you're drowning. A couple other things I just wanted to touch on. There's a time when, again, Jesus is getting kind of rock star famous status, and he just stops one day, at least that's how the Bible phrases it, and he turns to his disciples. He's like, who do people think I am? And they're like, oh, they think you're John the Baptist. They think you're Elijah. They think you're this or that. And then Peter, I don't know if you've ever seen the video Bible, parenthesis, smiley Jesus chronicles. Because in the video Bible of Matthew, the guy that plays Jesus, he smiles the whole movie. And I remember I had a professor that's like, you know, the Gospels only record Jesus being happy twice, at least in the text. But smiley Jesus, the whole film. Which maybe. So he turns, and so we don't know how this worked, but he's like, who do they say that I am? And all the disciples are shouting, and then it was like this dramatic, Peter pushes this guy over, and he pushes this guy over, and he goes, you are the Christ. Like, whoa, Peter. I mean, like, maybe it was like that, but it was profound because Jesus stops and he goes, Simon, son of Barjona. That's pretty, you nailed it there. Now, the Spirit had to help you with that one, Peter. But Peter nailed it. And if you speak Greek, and I don't, but I have friends that do, Christ is for the anointed one. So you see all through the Gospels, like, Peter rarely gets it right, but sometimes he does. And when he does, man, he nails it. So Jesus is this overwhelming other that makes me feel small and dirty while he's blessing me. He also, we can do amazing things. He'll save you when you drown. And then he figures out, oh, you're the anointed one that we're supposed to be looking for. And then in one of my favorite passages, and you'll never forget this, so you can look this up later, in John 6:6-6, you can check me tonight when you go back home, Jesus has just fed the 5,000, and the crowds, the Bible says, want to make him king. I mean, that's a no-brainer, right? Like, this guy is out teaching. None of us remembered our lunch. There were 5,000 men plus the women and children, so really we're looking at like 15 to 20,000, and Jesus takes a boy's lunch, and he feeds everybody with it, okay? And you can just see somebody go, you saw that, right? I saw that. Well, there was nothing here. Now we're all full and there's extras. We need a king. This guy would be the stuff. He could just come out and like pronounce breakfast and then we would all go home. They could do this. And like if bad guys come, he could pronounce defeat. And like it's just, so the Bible says they want to make him king. So this was Jesus's response. And this is why I just think Jesus would be a really bad politician. They want to immediately make him king, bypass all of the kingery steps that it takes to put someone in that position. And he says, whoa, if you want to be a part of what I'm about, you've got to eat my body and drink my blood. And it's like you can hear everybody like, whoa. Okay, crazy cannibal king guy. I don't know about this guy now. Does he even realize that if we eat him, he can't be the king? And the Bible says, and this is where it says, John 6:66, many stopped following him on that day. They were like, this is hard to understand. And so the text gives this picture that these crowds are leaving Jesus. This is why, like, Jesus would have failed my evangelism class I had at Bible college. And he turns to the disciples. And you'd expect him to say something like, see, I told you guys, or don't worry, you're running on a good thing. He says, do you guys want to leave too? And you can imagine, like, they're just sort of, like, scratching their head, probably just waiting for Peter to say something. And Peter does. This is my favorite Peter quote. He says, Lord, where would we go? Who else has the words of life? And this is why I think Peter gives us an example of why you should follow Jesus. Peter, again, is just all over the map and just like his excitement and his zeal to be a part of something. Gets it wrong, gets it right, but he gets these glimpses of Jesus that, again, he's something far more different and greater than anything you and I have ever encountered. And it should necessarily change you if you're willing to go down that road with Jesus. So what we see in life of Peter, again, we try to make a way to life on our own. We think we have some pretty good ideas, or we think we've figured some stuff out. And we just leave Jesus out of that entirely. And what Jesus wants to do by us going to him and then from him to life is he's going to allow us to experience something. He's going to elevate us, take our life to somewhere we never could have found it. When Jesus called Peter, and if you get a chance to ever explore harmonies of the gospel, it helps you understand a few things, that it looks like when you read the gospels, there's a couple places when they drop their nets. And when Jesus initially meets these guys that would later become his disciples, he just invites them to come check him out. Then there's a distinct where he comes to them and he says, follow me. And if you know the text, he says to the fishermen, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Which is just weird, right? Like, your occupation is to catch fish so that people can eat them. And Jesus is like, I'll make you fishers of men. And I think what's going on there is Jesus' point is, hey, if you come with me down this road, you're going to do something with your life you never could have imagined. If you get a chance maybe to talk to any of the people that have been working here at Fort for tens and 20s of years and just ask them, like, hey, did you ever think you'd be, like, right here at this point in your life? And there's a really good chance they'd probably say, no, it's even better than I imagined. The people that I've talked to that have known Jesus as long as I've been alive, it's hard to just go back and say, well, I knew right at this moment this is what I'm doing. But Jesus' plan was far greater for me. So that's the thought I want us to take with tonight. Maybe you have already made that decision. Maybe you already are following Jesus. Maybe you've been on the fence. Maybe you got invited to this by a friend. Or maybe your parents are like, you need to be out of the house for a week. I'm sending you to that Christian camp in the woods. Woohoo! Wherever you are, though, kind of today the thrust was consider following Jesus because he's something far greater than we can ever encounter, and he is willing and offering an experience of life that you and I could never have on our own. I want to close by going back to the chorus that we started with this morning. We're going to play around with this chorus the remainder of our time. So you notice I've just changed the last line there. So we'll sing it. We'll sing it through twice. If you feel like you got a hang of it, you can jump in. I'm really big on, and we'll talk more about this, about what prayer really is. But I think when Peter was falling in the water there, I think his, like, Lord, save me, is exactly what the New Testament talks about when it says, anyone that will call on the name of the Lord, like, I'm about to drown, Jesus. Please save me. And I think that, and we'll talk about this again with prayer, I think that's the birth of following Jesus, is just crying out to Jesus. So if you've never done that, this song could be that start for you. If you've already done that, let's just make this a prayer of our heart as we go in tonight. There's no one like you, Jesus. There's no one like you, Jesus.
Jesus, there's no one like you. I will follow just you.
Sing one more time.
There's no one like you. Jesus, there's no one like you. Jesus, there's no one like you. I will follow.
Jesus, we want that to be the prayer of our heart tonight. I would ask, Spirit, that anyone who has not considered following Jesus, that you would move and you would push us. Maybe if we have considered, you would push us to take you even more seriously, no matter how long we've been following with you. We thank you for the ways you've been speaking at us and to us throughout this day. And so we pray going into our evening, Lord, that you would continue to speak, continue to move, and continue to show us that you are far greater than anything we've ever encountered, and you're offering us far more than anything we could ever imagine. So we ask that, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Thank you.